The Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in the manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Please, let's take our seats. All right, let's open our Bibles. We're looking at the prayer of faith. It's taking longer than I thought it would, but I believe we are learning something. And it's helping us, amen? Now, make me feel happy. Is it helping us? All right, good. It's nice to be encouraged. The book of Hebrews chapter 12, let's start from there today. Again, let me see whether I can give us an idea of what I want to say as a title to begin. I want to talk about the heart of God in prayer. God has a heart in every situation. There's a heart of the Father. I hope you're getting my point. What is faith? Please bear this in mind. Faith is when you, how do I say it? You absorb the Spirit of God one way or the other, usually by His word, until you are thinking the way He's thinking. That's what faith is. I hope you're getting my point. Faith is not the stubbornness of heart to claim something from God, whether He likes it or not. That's not really what faith is. Faith is His will riding over and consuming your will until you start to think the way He does. Now, this is what I think one of the things that God wants us to do on this earth is to be transformed until we become like Him. And I keep on saying that thing. It's as if when He made man, that's the raw material. When God said, let us make man in our image, I don't believe, or let me say, I have cause to suspect that was the end, not the beginning. You know, the Bible says that He declares what? The end from when? The beginning. So man in His image was not the beginning. That was the end. So the creation of man, all right, was the beginning of a journey that would terminate in the exact image of God. We know God didn't make two arms for Adam because he has two arms. That's not what He did. He didn't make two legs for Adam because he needs two legs to run around. He didn't put Adam's two eyes in front. God, the Lord Jesus told us, is spirit. The word is not a spirit, but God is spirit. That is, everything about Him is in the realm of the spirit. It's very difficult to depict Him physically, which is one reason. All right, many reasons, but one reason why He said, don't draw an image of Him, don't carve an image. When He came down on the mountain, did you see anything? No. What did you hear? A voice. So you heard words. So pay attention to those words. Like I say, we Christians, we worship words. We do. Our worship is directed at the word of God. And that word has a personification. And what is that? The Lord Jesus Christ. If I want to talk about form, you don't know what God is like. It's not one of the revelations He gives. All right? You get to the realm of the heavens, you see the visions of a man like Ezekiel. All kinds of beings, some of them having eyes everywhere. Some in front, they look like a lion, or is it like a bear. On the side, they look like an eagle. On this side, they look like that. All kinds of beings up there. We don't know exactly. He didn't reveal that to us. Okay? So that's not the reason why He made Adam the way Adam is. What I believe, okay, this is, you can disagree with this. There's no point disagreeing because it makes a lot of sense. That Adam physically was made in the image of Christ to come on the earth. The image of God, the physical image, Adam was made to look like the Jesus that Mary will give birth to later. I hope you're getting my point, okay? Now, where I'm going is that, so in that form, in that vessel, God began to develop the man. into who he expects him to be, who he wants him to be. When they go wrong, he will say, you're of your father, the devil. They're not looking like him. There's a time he said, these are not my children. He denied them. That is, when you look at their spiritual form, they didn't have the form of God at all. I hope you're getting my point. Am I confusing you? I know you'll say no. But be sure I'm not confusing you. What I'm saying is that the transformation to becoming exactly like God is a spiritual transformation. And when God made Adam, Adam was supposed to start and continue on it until he reaches a level in which God would now say, you can eat of the tree of life, and as a consequence, live forever. The consequence of eating of the tree of life is living forever. You know, one of our brothers sent me something today. It was a very good one. I just saw it just not too long ago, less than an hour ago. About a man who has his quest to live forever. He wants to conquer death. Oh, okay, all of you. Oh, I'm the only one that just finding out. All right. Oh, hey, what's going on in this place now? I'm not the last to know things. I thought I'll be the one telling you. All of you say, yeah. And they now said that he got diagnosed, you saw him, of an incurable disease. And he said he will conquer it. That he won't manage it, he will conquer it. I said, ah. So now I read a bit of the details about his life. I told our brother, I said, this guy is extremely foolish. There is a man that knows nothing, that has a lot of money. Yeah, money is very terrible. It can give you ideas. He's looking for how to live forever. When I saw it, one of the things I saw that made me laugh, they said he takes supplements. I said, that's what will kill him. That one is the one that is guaranteed to finally finish him. Supplements. Please, I like to help people. Let me stay there small, right? If you, whether you like it or not, I will stay there. I want to help people. I sent a message that I saw in National Geographic. The amount of liver that's been damaged because of people that consume supplements. Now, this was not written by a Nigerian journal so that you say, no, National Geographic, they don't joke. This turmeric, all of you are after. They say they damage liver. Sit down there. Green tea extract damages liver. Sit down there. Let me tell you what I've been telling you for a long time. You are not sick. Okay, Nan?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Eat food. Leave it there. Let me go ahead again. You are not sick. Amen?
Yes.
So when you are not sick, what should you do? And leave it there. Just eat normal food. Once it comes from far, it's not good. You know, it's not good. Once from the Tuangjiangquan region of China, it's not good for you. It's on the high mountains in Oyo State, it's not good for you. They climb to the back corner of Udi where nobody stays, it's not good for you. Say orange, that one's good for you. Mango, good for you. Green leaf around, they chop to make vegetable, good for you. Okra, very good for you. The ebade ton. So you used to blend the okra. Very good for you. Do I need to talk about yam? Yam was given to give you long life. Eat it. If it's potato you like, fine. Eat normal food. Drink water. Enjoy yourself. Are you getting my point? Relax. Once they are selling it as a supplement, I forbid you in the name of the Lord from drinking it. That is how people die on time. You hear what I said? That is how people die early. In the quest for still living forever. I keep on telling the story of the man I read. Either in one of these international magazines. He said, I was well. Nothing was doing me well. I just felt like, let me use Nigerian terminology. I felt like cleansing my blood. I feel like rejuvenating myself so that I will not die again. Now I've had the liver transplant and waiting for a kidney transplant. Yes. When he was writing it, he's had the liver transplant. He's waiting for kidney transplant because they sent him something from China. He took it for a while. Kidneys died, liver died. I hope I finished sounding my warning. If anybody's selling you all those things, they don't care about your health. They care about the money they are making from you. One young lady saw me, this plaza, some time ago. Can I talk to you for a minute? I know she wants to sell something. What is it? There are products. I said, wait. Where's our product? I said, you're talking to the wrong person. Ah, why is that? Both here and at the mall. Around this, I think maybe a new company came to town. I said, you're talking to the wrong person. I said, I happen to be a doctor. You hear? Ah, boss, you see some... Eh? I said, you're still talking. I look at the girl. The way I look at you, even like you just finished secondary school. And you still want to educate me? I told her, you see, you don't care about me and you don't know anything about what you're selling. You have a target. So you can move in your multiple level MLM, multiple level marketing. Then you should now build a house before you're 30. That's all you care about. And let me warn you, that is what most people care about. And a lot of people are preaching their gospel. They don't know that the person who preached to them, that's what the person cares about. Please, oh, I just feel like sounding the warning again. You know, no matter how I say these things, eh? People. One of our brothers, he called me. Pastor, he said, sir, how are you doing? I'm fine. He said, I just wanted to ask my opinion. He sent me a list of the things that they said. No, he first showed me his blood workup, you know, blood counts and chemistry. So I looked at it. He said that the doctor said something like, his urea is marginally high, his sodium is one kind. I said, but I thought you just told me you've had a fever for a few days, not been drinking water. I said, bro, you are dehydrated. Go inside there, take 2 liters of water. I keep drinking it until it finishes. And then go and repeat the blood test, you'll be fine. They showed me all the herbs and concoctions they packed for him. I said, I forbid you from drinking them. He says, I have not paid. I said, good. Of course. He drank water, like I said. Got his blood diluted back to normal. He was dehydrated. And all the parameters were shaking up and down. I said, that doctor, are you sure he went to school? You know, these days, the title doctor is very common. It's very common. If you want one, the people will give it after like 6 weeks of training. Yes? Ah, nice. They train you something. They just say doctor or chair making, and that's it. They have a right, and you go around doctor this, doctor that. The Lord is good. That day, he said, sir, I have not paid. I said, good. I said, whoever sold that to you doesn't care about you. Please bear it in mind. Stop buying things. There's nothing that will make you live forever. God put that thing in the garden. It's called the tree of life. And it was so potent that if Adam ate it, Adam would still be alive till today. A fallen man who was making no progress towards becoming the exact image that God created him to be. That's the point I'm making. Adam was supposed to develop to the point in which he would take of that. The development is what we are saying. Until he will have, listen to this, he will have the thoughts of God. He will have the passion of God. He will like what God likes. He will understand what God wants. So that if God puts him, listen carefully please, so that if God puts him in charge of a company, he will run it as if Jesus is literally on the throne in that company. Do you get my point? What God wants is that if we get to a point, he will want only what God wants. Let me again remind us. Don't feel spiritual. Please go and listen to the series, 10-minute series we have, titled True Spirituality. Don't feel spiritual because you can hear spirits. Like the spirit of God, you know. There are people that sniff demons. Have you met them before? If you come near them, just by sniffing, they know the kind of demon that's disturbing the person. I'm not saying it's wrong. It's a gift. Vakenegin in his days, he said he used to smell death. Death. He could smell it. And what I mean is that There are people who come. He said, there was a day he was sitting down. He's about to minister. They started smelling something. So he was just, he said, can you smell that? Nobody else could smell it. They finally located the person, knew that that woman was going to die that night. He could smell it. And there was nothing anybody could do. He could smell it. He said, that this, he's not, he has not seen the person, but he will perceive the smell. So I'm not saying it doesn't happen. It does happen, all right? People see visions. None of these things qualify as true spirituality. They are gifts. A gift does not make you spiritual in any way. A gift does not make, and that's what, that's the mistake a lot of us make. Not because we are bad, but it's just the kind of thing that will throw you off guard. You meet, maybe you come here, I'm teaching all the time. I say things, and you think that, now, I'll say something that will make you laugh. You think I know what I'm saying. So if you think I know what I'm saying, you will assume I'm behaving the way of, you know, of what I know. So when you see me outside later, and I display some, you know what they call mortar, jaguda tendency, it's hard for you to relate with. How is that possible? So people have abandoned their faith because they saw men of God who was doing jaguda outside. Don't bother. Don't abandon your faith. Let me tell you what happened. It's simple. Once the person is standing here, the Holy Spirit is walking. There are things you heard from me that I did not say. Yeah. When I mean it literally. If you yourself listen to the message later, you'll be looking for where you heard it. There are some which you heard. You tell me you said this, I will deny you. Until you play the message for me and say, I said that. I didn't know what I said it. There are things I will share, depending on the kind of anointing you're operating with. Okay? In fact, and I was talking about Ken Hagin, he was a prophet. There was something he said once about how Rhema Bible School was going to start. It was when he was preaching. So when he finished preaching, people say, so I was starting a Bible school. He said, why? They're looking at him like, daddy, sorry. I thought you said, it became an argument though. He said he didn't say anything like that. They thought the man was joking. He thought they were joking. After a while, they went and brought the tapes and played it for him. And his jaw dropped. I said that. He didn't know when he said it. Now, if I'm mistaken, maybe it's something else, maybe not the Bible school, but something like that happened. The people had to tell him, sir, you said this while preaching. Where is it? When he heard it, he was shocked that it came out of his own mouth. So when someone is standing here, that's why Jesus said, you see those Pharisees? They sit in the seat of Moses. He said, do as they say, not as they do. Because when you're in the seat of Moses, the things that are coming out of your mouth, they are not your thoughts, they are the thoughts of Moses. Do you get the concept? It's not you, it's Moses. So he said, do as they say. Moses is prophesying the word of God to you when they are speaking. But when you go outside, tell leave those boys, they didn't listen to themselves. What I've told you is the truth. So don't let anybody, all right, maybe you are listening to me, it's happening to you. You heard of one man, preacher you used to listen to, and this one happened, and your faith is shaking. See, I've listened to preachers before, and then when I hear some things they did, I just felt sorry for them. My faith, honestly, didn't crawl one bit. I just said, so this man was not listening to his own messages. What a pity. That's all I felt. There are ministries that have closed because of scandals that developed out of the man's life. You know what? Doesn't bother me. Good enough, this is of internet, electronic devices, digital recording. I just went there, collected the messages and kept. Those of you who want to lose your faith because of the man doesn't concern me. The word he preached, my God, they were good. There was a man I listened to. I read his books. I got his messages at the time. And I've lost the CDs now. I think I used to have them somewhere, but I think my hard disk crashed. So it's one of the things I lost that time. The man will insult. You know what he said, insult? Hey, racist is a very gentle word to use for him. That man should be in KKK. You know they call KKK? Ku Klux Klan. It should be. And he will abuse black people and I will burst into laughter. Or I said, why are you listening to him? I said, there are some things he knows. Till today, I've not heard anybody that knows those things. And I said this thing I've said it years ago. Till date, the only person I hear preach those things is me, which I learned from him. I said, abuse me all you want. It's your problem. It's not my problem. How many people know of William Seymour, Azusa Street Revival? Do you know the white brethren did not let him enter church? You know he kept going. He will sit outside. You can't sit with the whites. No problem. At least the crumbs that fall from the... is good enough. So he will sit near the window and be paying attention. And the Holy Spirit fell on him. Until they forgot all the white brethren in that church, is the only one we remember today. The only ones of those white brethren that we remember are those ones that were his friends. They went together. You know, they fellowshiped together. They ate together. He could relate with those ones. All those ones that were, they've gone. But the word of the Lord abides for how long? Thank you. So, I'm talking about true spirituality. The true spirituality, all right, or true spirituality is not the use of the gift. That's the point I'm making. Is when you are converted till you are thinking the way God thinks. Till you are feeling, that is when I say feeling now, about an issue, the way God feels about that issue. That if God is saddened by something, you are not able to find it funny. Do you know? Now, this is just an example. I discovered, because for many years I've interacted with brethren, you know, mostly, closely. It's in recent times that WhatsApp now threw me into groups that are not core believer groups. So I have a few of them. Most of them, you put me in, after a while I get out. I began to see how the heart of human beings worked. The other day, my wife and I were speaking about something. She said, how? I said, okay, relax. The problem is that you've been interacting with believers for so long. These are normal things in the world. You know? You see where I'm going? A lot of those things I couldn't stand. I won't be able to stand. I just get out. There was one group, professionals. After a few days, I exited at midnight when everybody was sleeping. At 2 a.m., that's when I woke up to exit the group because I didn't want to. I was hoping other posts would have... those days, WhatsApp wouldn't notify only the administrators. No, now, if you leave a WhatsApp group, only the admins will know. Yeah, if you exit now. They realize people like to exit. So now only the administrators, right, we know. But those everybody we know. But there were over 150 people inside there. I said, I can't take this anymore. I left. Either they were saying, you should go. That kind of thing. I've gone. Whether you say I should go or not go. And what was the reason? The grumbling and anger and complaining about life amongst people that are... I just left because I realized that I couldn't stand it. And I still experience things like that today. There are groups I've found very difficult to leave for certain reasons. I just try and overlook. I said, if this is how we behave on a daily basis, it's amazing we are this blessed. God is too merciful. That God is just too merciful because when I hear people, I just say, no, thank God he doesn't look at everybody. He looks only at the remnants. Yes. He doesn't look at everybody. If he did, I won't lie to you, we won't be here. We will not be here at all. What is true spirituality? Is God forming his attitude, his character, his patience, his love, his forgiveness, his perspective on everything into you. That's what spirituality is. Don't think somebody is spiritual just because he sees visions. Vision is a gift. The ability to see visions, that's a gift. And don't believe all those who said that they prayed for 6 hours, they began to see, tell your God that your vision is false. Look, I know what I'm telling you. If anybody comes and gives you the impression, pray that, this world we're in, it's a place of warfare. I went into warfare for 2 months. And I was fasting and fasting and fasting. At the end of the day, just pack your books and leave. It's lying. I used to say to people, Pastor, I said he's lying. Who was it? I was talking about later he came and said, sir, that thing you said is true. I said, most of the time is a lie.
Hear what I said? Don't be impressed with any pastor telling you all those things. Don't be angry with him, but don't be impressed. They asked Amos. He said, go back to Israel. Was it Israel? He said, you should go back to Judah. Go back to Judah and go and be doing your prophesying there. Amos said, me? I'm not a prophet, though. And I'm not the son of a prophet. Do you know, I was thinking about something yesterday, sir. It hit me that there's no prophet in the whole Bible. Please correct me after in case I'm wrong. But I couldn't think of one that was raised in the school of prophets. There were school of prophets everywhere. Yet, when God said, Elijah, go and anoint Elisha to replace you, he met Elisha doing his business. There were schools of prophets. Elisha was plowing with 12 pairs of oxen. That tells you it's a massive farming project he was supervising. Elijah got there, cast his mantle on him. He knew what that meant. That was when he began to follow Elijah. He began to follow Elijah. All these sons of the prophets, nothing. God didn't go to their midst. Amos said, I'm a farmer. I'm a keeper of sycamore trees. I tend trees. So then God called me and said, I should go and give a message. When he called Jeremiah, you hear what Jeremiah said? Sir, I think I'm pretty young. I can't speak. It was a protest. These are not people who prayed their way into the anointing. Do you know, it was yesterday I thought about it. Something led to it. I saw people, you know, small aside, right? I hope it's okay. Let me just warn people. I began to see people gather. They're having congregation of prophets. Yeah. And people began to brag on the title. One day I even heard, you know, in the university, if you read the talk, we'll call you what? Professor, thank you. So when they want to shorten it, what do you shorten it to? I found a bread. They now call each other a prof. Prophet, short for prophet. I'm not saying it's evil, I'm just surprised. I'm telling you the truth, the whole truth. Yet, when God wants to anoint prophet, this whole place, you know he will anoint this guy. See his hair. And you'll be surprised. You'll be expecting to go and call John. John said, no. John is too spiritual. The Lord is good. What I'm trying to say is that, please, don't. Spirituality is not, when someone comes and he prays for 12 hours every day for 2 years. That's how God now spoke to him. Then he said, that thing God told you, I'm suspicious. I'm suspicious. God doesn't talk to you because of human effort. Do you follow my point?
Yes.
No. Your devotion is good. I'm not saying, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that God won't respond to your devotion. That is not those acts. Your personal, spirit, your heart devotion, yeah, that's the word, towards him, which manifests in different ways. That's what I'm making. These people didn't do anything. I told you about Jeremiah, Amos, that's what I talked about Elijah. Yeah, the gift came upon them. God selected Elijah. He said, he told Elijah, go and anoint Elisha to replace you. He found Elisha where he was plowing, not where he was meditating. No. Where he was plowing. So Elisha shouldn't think he knows how to. That's the point I'm making. True spirituality is that we become like God in our thought processes. If God loves something, we are developed to liken it. Okay, I'll tell you something about groups I belong to. One of the things I found out, when I'm in those groups, I don't enjoy when you mock holy things. Are you getting my point? Yeah. In fact, one of my classmates is a believer, but he liked yapping quite a bit. So those days, when they were, of course, the group was still growing, so, you know, they would fish out classmates. Of course, don't forget, my class, we left university
In a few months, it'll be 35 years. So it's not 2 days. Is that okay? Yeah, 1991. So they kept on, when they were building the group, they kept on fishing people out here and there. So then they just said, they found this person. No, where is he? Somewhere in the Bahamas. Oh, they had this number. So they would spend the next few hours welcoming him and all of that. One said one day, they call me Bishop. So when someone will be added, they will now be given the rules of the game because they are rules. Now, you have to understand that a lot of people that have been added, they are very senior people. They are accomplished people. All right? If I give you where those guys, I mean, it's not surprising. These guys have been doctors for over 30 years. They are specialists. They are in different parts of the world. Even in Nigeria, they occupy very high positions. So sometimes you will enter and you will say something which you think make a lot of sense. Somebody will ask, what you smoke this morning? No, you're just coming in. It comes to you as a shock. No, you're not used to being talked like that. Somebody that has been suspecting you, like, say they use banner for night. You know, a few of our classmates have left. They will insult them like that, they will run away. So that's when they said, everyone will say, wait. There are things I will say. Somebody said, see, Banky, that's the problem I have. You will say this on Sunday and somebody will believe you. So we have this habit. So after they saw, you know, those LEDs when they were gathering people, so when they saw all those things, somebody now wrote a long treatise to explain that, please, guys, when you get here, drop your titles. These are boys and girls from 1980-something to 91. They haven't changed. You are not a chief, professor, this, chair. They are nothing to them. They remember the way you looked. When you are eating in bucateria, they just say, hey. So when they are giving rules like that, one of those rules my friend will add, he said, hey, by the way, don't insult the head of state because Bishop is here. He said, Bishop will come to your mind. That's where I was going. They found out that once you start insulting the head of state, I can't stand it. I can't. It's been like that because we started this years ago. I said, please, there's what they call, for one day, of course, as you can imagine, boys will always be boys, even when they are still men, when they have become men. So sometimes they say, you know, sexually themed stuff, still drop it once in a while. So one of my classmates one day now said that we should not pollute our common space. Was quoting from Chinua Achebe's book, that this is a common space, this vulgar things you don't drop here. I answered, I said, my brother, we are all men. We have children. We've been married for a long time. I said, these vulgar things don't move me. I said, what I can't stand is when people are insulting your elders. This disturbs you. I said, let me be honest with you. It doesn't disturb me one bit. And I wasn't joking about it. I said, what is it? You tell the story. I said, I better go. I said, what moves my soul is you will sit down here and abuse the head of state. Telling then Buhari's time. And in fact, one day somebody posted a joke about the head of state that he has not traveled because he's trying to protect his country from coronavirus. And those boys began to dance, you know, that kind of thing. One guy said, hey, Bishop, can I laugh? I found out that I didn't like when people mocked holy things. That's where I'm going. I wasn't trying to, I just couldn't, when you are full of grumbling, I just can't stand it. You always see things from a negative aspect, perspective. I can't stand it. I just realized that what has happened over the years is I've learned. Are you getting my point? And my feeling, and according to Charles Finney said, feeling follows thought. I don't know, get my point. If you think one particular way for a long time, it becomes a feeling for you. And I realized that the Bible says that don't cast your pearls before what? Swine. That there's what the Bible calls holy things. It said don't give to dogs. So I said God expects us to respect what? Holy things. Some things are holy in the eyes of God. And once you discover those things, make sure you revere them. Then after a while, you start feeling like it. The examples I can give you now, there's things people would do. Okay, let me give an example now. If you see a young boy talking, I don't want you. Talking to somebody, you now see the person is his father. How do you react? Good.
You know, you look like, what? Was that your father you were talking to? You know, you don't find it funny. Even if they make a joke about it, you know, it's you just can't laugh.
There was one joke I saw the other day, one of the big comedians. That was really interesting. This girl's father asked her a question. She answered it wrongly. He said, what's the capital of Ghana? Something like that. The girl said, it's G, no? She made a sign of G. The man said, no. The capital of, is now called the girl, Olodo. So the capital of Ghana is Accra. So the girl said, daddy, that's the capital city. The capital city of Ghana is Accra, Olodo. Do you understand? Say, Olodumare. Now, see the way you laughed. Why? Do you know why you laughed? You realized that she could not dare call her father Olodo. That she began to say it when she realized the gravity. That's why it's funny to you. If she had said, Olodo, and the man said, what? You know, you won't laugh. You're waiting for the punchline. That's okay. Get there. What is funny about a girl telling her father she's Olodo? But when she caught herself and said, Olodo, marry, then all of us relaxed and we started laughing. See what I'm saying? We are transformed. That's what they call transformation. Godliness is coming into your soul. That's spirituality. That's why I keep saying, when you talk about the will of God, most of the time people call it the will of God. Don't worry about it. You pray until you know the will of God. No. You pray until you are transformed. You keep learning. You keep confessing. Because as soon as light comes, it illuminates the dark areas of your heart. Then you confess that as sin. Then God forgives you of the sin and cleanses you from all unrighteousness. You are being transformed. So you are transformed into the will of God. Also, Chambers used to say, it's in his books, that God's will for the child of God rightly related with him is as natural as breathing. He said, only the sick understands what health is. Did you catch that? He said, if you are healthy, it's difficult to define health. But when you are sick, you know what it means to be healthy. He said, being consciously aware of the will of God many times is a sign that we are habitually walking out of it. That if you are always walking the will of God, he said, it's so natural to you, it's almost not a question in your heart. So what am I saying? The aim, the purpose of everything is that's where God. So when God said, let us make man in our image, it wasn't a physical image. If you now read later in the book of Hebrews chapter 1, when he was going to describe the Son, you see what he said there. He said the Son describing, and later on, if you read further down, all right, those chapters 2, 3, he explained that we do see Jesus. And that was the fulfillment of man, all right, having dominion. When he said that, what is man that you are mindful of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels, all right? And then crowned with glory and honor. He said, we don't yet see man like that. He said, but we do see Jesus. So Jesus is the one that fulfilled that thing, made in the image and likeness of God. And he created a path for us to be transformed into his image. So the Bible says in that Hebrews chapter 2, he said he's bringing many sons to what? Glory. He's bringing many sons to glory. So how did he describe that glory? What man is supposed to be? You see it in that Hebrews chapter 1 in verse 3. He said, talking about the Son, he said he's the radiance of his glory. And what? Read it for me. The exact representation of his nature. That's what we're talking about. It's his nature. Let's make man in his image. That's what he's talking about. He said the Son is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. Now, what did Jesus come to do? To create a path by which we will become the radiance of God's glory and the what? Exact representation of his nature. Listen, when you have that, it's not possible for Jesus to pray and the Father doesn't hear. Do you know why? Because his thoughts is always, or his thoughts are always in perfect alignment
with his will, with the will of the Father. When he came down in the flesh, and he was going to go to the cross, the most painful thing that ever happened to anybody on this earth. And the flesh, the Bible talks about the days of his flesh. So that flesh also spoke up. Said, Father, is there any way around this? But he added that clause to it, which is what? Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Listen, I hope you know there is nothing, there was nothing that Jesus will ask the Father for he wouldn't grant. If he decided to ask. Yeah, nothing. That's how the relationship was. That is part of sonship, was knowing what not to ask for. Isn't everything you ask God for? Part of sonship was knowing what not to ask the Lord for. So when they came to arrest him and he was going to go to the cross, that's after this point, and after he had prayed, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And the disciples decided to fight. Champion, Peter. What did Jesus tell him? Put your sword back in its sheath. He said, don't you understand? If I wanted deliverance, I could have asked the Father for it, and he would have given us 12 legions of angels. So, it's clear, he could have asked. It's clear, the Father would have given it. So, for him to go to the cross was to lay, he said, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down by myself. So, how did he lay it down? Refusing to ask for deliverance. Please, I hope you're getting my point. Why did he refuse to ask for deliverance? He said, this is a path to the fulfillment of God's eternal plan. This is the path to the redemption of mankind. See, let me drop this, all right? I will get into the core. I'm right inside it, so just talking about how to use prayer with the heart of God. Let me explain something to you. If you are going to be a redeemer in this life, you will pass through suffering. Yes, that's what life will be. Every redeemer will pass through suffering, one way or the other. Plotting your life to escape all forms of suffering is declaring, I am not a redeemer in any way. Many times people are Christians are making decisions. Let me tell you something. God doesn't always force his... How do I say this? God doesn't force his plans on people. You have to daily yield to those plans. Let me say that again. God, our Heavenly Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. God does not force his plan on anybody. Daily, you will yield to it. There are two ways, or there are two levels in which you yield to God's plans. Number one, general yielding. You just pray. I lay myself on your altar. Whatever you say, go, I will go. Whatever you say, do, I will do. That is general. It's general. Nothing in your mind. Better pray that thing. It's very important, because when the real thing comes, if you have not been praying that one, you will see God says to you that, my son, don't pass through that cross. I'm the Lord thy God. I have power to deliver you from the cross. And you go and give testimony. Dear brethren, I was about to enter the cross. I said, no, Father, no. I refused. And brethren, when the Roman soldiers came, they were all falling down. They were all falling down. They were all falling down. And when they brought the cross, it splintered. As soon as I touched it, it splintered. When Pilate saw me, he saw he could not resist. Amen. I'm still alive today. But that, yeah, Jesus Christ, you're 65 years old. That is like... I don't know whether you're getting my point. You're supposed to have gone mid-30s. And then now you will not die, maybe at the age of 73, having redeemed nobody, and having left a very funny, useless testimony. Let's just use the Lord Jesus Christ as an example. If he had gone to the cross, died, you would have been raised on the third day, and then you would have been high priest forever. And then you would have redeemed everyone who would believe. So laying it down, all right, was part of, how do I explain, the will of God. He had to learn. God didn't force it on him. You also, let me tell you something. The will of God is not,
There's something we used to preach, that the will of God will bring peace to your heart. Have you heard that thing before? Just how you have peace. I said, it's because it's nice. You're telling me the Lord Jesus Christ had peace in his heart when he saw the cross. He said, now is my soul troubled. Is that what you call peace? He said, that now I am sorrowful unto death. Brethren, it's not every will of God that gives you peace. So you have to pray that peace into your heart by force. The Lord Jesus stayed in the garden. He prayed. It was clearly the will of God. How did he know? Well, he laid down his eternal knowledge. That's part of the glory of God. So how did he discover as a growing person? From the scriptures. From the visit of when his mother told him stories of Anna, of Simeon. From visiting the temple, hearing the scrolls read. Then from meeting the saints of old. Two of them described for us, Moses and Elijah. Those things were making it clear. When it became clear, was not left, okay, you decide. You're going or you're not going? It was a voluntary thing. He said, I lay it down by myself. But that didn't make it easy. It did not make it easy. God can give you a husband or a wife, and she's a prayer point. I'm not trying to scare anyone of you that has not married. Like, as a man, God, I use it. I don't know you. I'm preaching the word of God. Apply it to your life. Yeah, seriously. Many times we think that, let me be honest with you. It is so wrong for us to think that when God calls me, I will like. No, it's not true. We call you sometimes and you're like, God, are you sure? Lord, please, can you reconsider? When you finish explaining. Lord, please reconsider. If he ever reconsiders, you have missed the will of God. No, he doesn't reconsider. I wasn't joking the first time. Your job is to pray until you can accept. You pray that peace into your heart. Do you follow my point? You will pray it. Now, not pray it as in a test. You know, there's a praying it as a test. If it brings peace, it's the will of God. If it doesn't bring peace, it's not the will of God. That's not what I mean. I mean, this is the will of God. But I will not take any action until the peace and confidence of God, they've been poured into my soul. Because whether you are obeying God or not, if you lose faith along the line, you sink. So you have to be careful. That's what Christians do with prayer. When we're talking about praying, we're talking about prayer of faith. That's where prayer of faith comes in. That I know God's will. This is his mind about this matter. Then I will pray until I am converted, not until he changes his mind. You know, I've been telling people about fall in love, don't fall in love. There are young people here. Yeah, I'm looking at this, my guy. But I say, you never marry. You haven't, because that guy's health used to be like your own until he married. So, that guy at the back, it's your mentor. I mean, like, it's your senior bro. and he's doing well, serving the Lord, seriously. So, it doesn't stop you from serving God. If I look at the kind of head that we should put Holy Ghost fire, you know that one we were talking about last time? Holy Ghost fire, we sit down there. The Lord is good. So young people do fall in love. That's what I'm making. And you know my rough estimate in our environment, 85% of fall into love, they are wrong. Do you hear what I said? You're laughing. People like say you don't fall in love. Did you fall in love? Yeah, I think so. I think so. Now, we want to spoil it now. We want to preach it away. Aye. Say, why did I come today? Oh. The Lord is good. See, sometimes you fall in love, and it's not the will of God. The fact that you are praying, you are fasting, you are prophesying, doesn't mean you won't fall in love with the wrong person. In fact, those spirits are everywhere, tempting people. That's their job. They will tempt you. Ah, my father. Those guys are powerful. They are very strong.
Okay, let me say probably. They are very strong. They are very strong. So it is very possible we say, yeah, Father, the Lord just come and say, you are not marrying him. She cannot. But Lord, you know, you can reconsider. After you've done prayer, consider three times. Because if you bring this matter to me again, I go wound you seriously. Serious thing will happen. Please, I need to explain this. Don't disobey God. What did I say? Don't. You can't. You can't. You will pray until you have the capacity, the strength to tell that man, tell that woman, I know they do again. Let me just tell you, if you have been going to church, hearing the word of God, you can't marry an unbeliever. Now, first, if you have not been going to church, you have not been serious, and you're not hearing the word of God, you still can't marry an unbeliever. I hope you get my point. But this one I give now is a warning to someone or some people listening to me who, for one reason or the other, they have read enough books to believe that God will make a compromise for them. Let me tell you, he will not. I'll tell you something about the Lord. If you harass him enough, he will leave you alone. He said, Ephraim has joined himself to idols. Let him be. That's all. He will just say, leave him, leave him. And when the Lord does, leave him. Oh boy. The suffering way different. It won't start for the first 3 years. For the first 3 years, you will think you'd made the right choice. That time, John brethren were saying I shouldn't, but look at it now. What's the liver? He says, see, Nathan did not visit David for so many months. Not 1 month, not 2 months. After he killed Uriah, you know the boy was born. The boy began to grow enough for the father to love him. When Nathan came to the house, he said, goat lost. So what did he say? He said, person thief goat. Ah, David is a who thief goat. He said, well, one rich man, he collected one poor man's goat. Ah, ah. David said, in this nation, no, I shall not agree. I shan't agree. Nathan was looking at him. He said, bring the man. He said, I came with him. He said, good, let him come. He said, no, he was here before I even got here. Sir. Who's the man? It is you. For thus says the Lord. David said, Pari, I don't die. What am I saying? I don't want to scare people. I have to tell the people the truth so that they will not waka enter the thing where they're not supposed to waka enter. With all the beg. God said, okay, I've forgiven you. Your sin is taken away. In only one area, you will not die. So nevertheless, the sword will not depart from your house. What you did in secret will be done to you openly. From inside your own house, I will raise rebellion against you. Yea! I don't know who suffered more, whether it's Job or David. Please, don't, if they say, one day, one sister, please don't be like what I'm about to say. Oh, because sometimes, people think it's a joke. Many of us, the way we start disobeying God is when we start joking about serious things. I'll explain what I mean. We were in school then. One of our senior bros, he came to the seminar on marriage matters. And one of the things he explained to us were the rules of choosing a mate. Some of them, well, that's where we began to learn these things from. And some of them, they're my book, Should I Say Yes? And, of course, simple things like charm is deceitful, beauty is vain. A woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Same thing applies to the man also. That is like, there's a way you apply it, get the same truth out when it comes to a man. So he explained all of those things and said that it's not the exterior we look at. He just said all those things. And one lady was telling me later about her friend. We're all at this meeting. She is my fellowship, but her friend was not our fellowship. That when they go to the room, now that's the kind of thing I say, don't joke with it. You know, these are holy things. She said, oh, that one that, let's assume his name was Chibeze. All right? But very close. That guy's name was close to that, actually. He said, oh, that thing that brother Chibeze said, or Reverend Chibeze, the one that came to preach. He said, that's his own. He said, as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to find me a tall, dark, and handsome man to marry.
Now, what am I trying to say to you? It's not funny. That kind of statement is not funny. It's dangerous. That statement will carry you. The day it will make you disobey God, you won't know. What am I saying? If you want to talk about disobeying God, disobeying the Holy Spirit, that's what we are talking about. If you do, my brother, my sister, you will suffer with a capital S. In fact, not capital S. Every letter inside there, your own are capital. Don't try it. See, if God brings a word of direction for you, you don't go against it, ever. What you use it to do, I can tell you from scripture and from personal experience that the word of direction from the Lord is not always easy to follow. You know, it's very easy to follow whether you should anoint Matthias or Justus to replace Judas. You know why? None of them is paying you. None of them you have to pay. Both of them are both people, you know what I mean? They are both in the household of God. They were all there from the beginning. You really don't have nothing. Sometimes that one is easy. You just say, which one do you choose? They cast lots, The Lord falls on Matthias. Hey, Mato, you're not an apostle. Oh my God. Oh boy, congrats. You know, don't think anything. But there's one in which you are going about your business, JJ. Suddenly you wake up and you see the cross in front of you. You could have gone as a popular prophet, healing the sick and all of that. You say, no, it's either this or that. And that is the will of God. The will of God is not always easier. That's why people say, God speak to me. I say, that's why he doesn't like to talk. Because most times, when you hear what he has to say, you will disobey. See, trust me, you will not agree. No. You will start the prayer again. You will fire the prayer. So, he doesn't like to talk. What he does is that, you want my will, let's now do what? Convert you, bit by bit. So you keep praying. He said, look, listen, girl, if I tell you now, you can't bear it. So I will not, and if I talk, you will disobey. And that's double jeopardy. So let's leave it. So when you are praying, you are being converted. When people want to pray, and they just say, okay, I woke up with the Lord said, go left. Then the Lord said, go right. God said, see, if after all these years, I have to be telling you, go left, go right. We have not done a good job in raising you. So you can't wake up by yourself and know whether left or right is good when you are going to school or going to work. Don't worry. Follow the one that you think is reasonable. Then one day, if Allah did that one, I will come and stop it. It's not all this one. I came this way this morning. When I was about to enter the bus, the Lord just said, I should cross to the other side and take a bus that's going to the roof. And you don't think God said, excuse you. Entering bus normally is not a problem. It doesn't require all of this. You develop. If crossing the road is out of parental training, it's not Holy Spirit. Do you follow my point? But occasionally, you want to cross. Truck is coming. You didn't know. You were looking the wrong direction. I will pull you back. A stranger will just grab you. Stop. Before you know, boom, you see the car pass. It missed you by a few inches. I hope you're getting my point. Because I'm trying to say, the will of God is not all. When you find it many times, it's not always sweet too. But you know what? It can't be disobeyed. No matter how hard it is. One man told me, he said, man of God, if God says I should go to Maiduguri, because I told him that my friend is there, we're talking about. He said, the Lord said I should go there. He said, I won't go. Please, brethren, again, don't say that kind of thing. Just say, if the Lord said I should go, it go hard though. That's not good, but it's better. It's fair. The best thing to say is, if the Lord said I should go, he will supply grace. That's the best way to say it. The Lord said I should go to that kind of place. Maybe some, of course, Maiduguri is not bad. A lot of us in the south, we think Maiduguri is bad. It's just a normal place. Are you getting my point? There's enough trouble in Enugu to compete with what is going on in Maiduguri. I'm telling you the truth. But just because of the problem we have had in the nation with the insurgency and all of that, that's what I'm saying. So you're having your peace in the south. The Lord now says go there. I said, don't say I won't go. What you will say is what? One or two things. It go hard though. That's not very nice, but it's better than I won't go. I won't go is begging for judgment. But the best thing to say, if you are not the type that would like to go, you will say, to go there, the Lord has to supply grace. Which is what he does normally. He will give me the kind of grace that boldness will be my portion. Those are the kind of words you utter because the Lord cannot be disobeyed. You are planning to marry. You now tell either the young man, it's a young woman, could be a young man, they now go for one church program together. You are sitting together. And you're planning to see your parents next week. Or take her to your dad next week. You know, there are preachers that suddenly they are anointed to scatter your peace. He now starts preaching. It's possible two of you even came from, one of you came from Independence Day, the other person came from Nine Miles Today. You know, you look at each other like, No, they reported us. Because actually, you drove from Nine Miles to Independence Layout and picked the young woman up to come for this church program. But it doesn't matter whether you come for Independence Layout or co-dependent layout. If the Lord says no, no, it's no. Ah! You're like, which kind of trouble is this one today? Because the Lord says, if I tell you this is your direction in life, if a woman will not be willing to follow you wholeheartedly, she's not my will. And 2 days ago, you had expressed your desire to stay, maybe, as an example, in Nigeria, maybe start a church, start a business, or start a ministry. And the woman has said, no, I've told her, no, all my, you know, she's been dragging leg for you. And your mind, they say, like, we'll get over it. And this preacher, you know what he decided to do? Use that one to illustrate. Let me tell you, your destiny is more important than any human being. Sometimes some people don't even like this kind of messages we are preaching. And you remember it took you 2 days to persuade this girl to follow you to this program. After that, if you marry that girl, you are begging for your destiny to be scattered. But it's not easy to just stop. That's the point I'm making. And it can be a man also. It can be a woman having a problem in this area. Brethren, this is how you deal with the will of God. You enter into the garden and you don't come out until your heart is ready to let this relationship go. I'm not saying until you have peace to continue. That peace is not from God. That peace is not from God. What you do with prayer at that time is you will pray until you are converted to the will of God. Sometimes all you do is say, Father God, the way this thing went, all the signs you have shown and all of that, but that is not what, it's a nevertheless, it's not what I feel. It's your will. Father God, then again, you go back to general consecration. You start consecrating, and start saying, my desire is not important. Your will. At the end of the day, you just wake up one day and know that, sorry, desire will now break it to her or him. That's the issue now. So next time in a quarrel, you refuse to solve it. He's like, you have been talking about the time, I can't take it anymore. He's like, you're lying. You're just looking for an excuse. But the point is that the will of God must be obeyed. It must be obeyed. It doesn't, you know, see, this, you know, where you have peace in your heart, it's not always true. Many times, it is the will of God that comes to scatter the peace. You had peace before, until the Lord spoke, until he expressed his will. That is good. Talking about prayer of faith. Okay, good. So, let's continue in that area. So, what is that prayer of faith? It is a prayer of faith to pray until you are perfectly aligned with his will. First, his general will. And second, his specific will. What I wanted to teach today, in fact, we're already in it anyway. I was going to read a particular scripture, right? I said we should open to where? Hebrews 12. Good. Let's read it. He said, pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble and by it many be defiled. I'm going to stop reading here. Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification that is required for you to see the Lord. Bear that in mind. It now says, make sure no one comes short of the grace of God. And make sure that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. Now, let me. This is what I wanted to teach today. I'm good enough. The whole thing is flowing. Remember I said something to you about the Lord Jesus Christ. That there was nothing he would have asked the Father for that he would not have granted. He has reached that point in life. On that cross, If he says those nails should come off and they should float down gently, and rehydration and transfusion be done to him so that his strength will return, and the Romans be blinded so he can go away. You know, the father would have done it, even though it was not in line with God's will. He would have done it. And we explain that this is praying according to the will, to lay down what I desire, all right, and take up what God has expressed as his will and desire. Is that okay? Now, God has a general plan, has an overall plan. That's the Lord Jesus was, of course, part of that plan, chief of that plan. So many times in life, all right, for that, no, let me say it like this. Now, for the plan of God to come to be, he recruits us to join him. Now, bear this in mind. Now, when I say he recruits us to join him, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord. The earth, he has given to the sons of men. All right? Now, listen to this. Satan has been given the liberty to try and scuttle that plan. And one major way by which he scuttles the plan of God is through bitterness. Now, I need to say that again. One major way by which Satan scuttles the plan of God is through bitterness. Here, Paul, I believe, was telling us that bitterness troubles people. Now, bitterness comes from different reasons. A major reason bitterness comes is because somebody actually hurts you in such a manner that you are bitter. There's only one problem. That bitterness, remember we said something, you don't pray your own will. Because if you are praying your own will, you scatter the eternal plan of God. You pray the will of God, no matter how you feel. And that's what I've been saying all this while. Now, bitterness prevents you from praying properly. Now, please follow me closely. And I pray I don't miss my train of thoughts, even though I always speak what the Spirit is saying. But I just want to get this in order to us. There was a time I met one, well, not really me, it's my wife, a friend, you know, and a lady. And then they are talking. You know what they call fire? This girl could vibrate. You know they call it vibrate? Because she goes to a church where that's how they vibrate when they are praying. And they use scripture for fire. And it's all scripture. It's all scripture. All of it's scripture. But let me say something about scripture. You know, we've said it before. I mean, different people have said it. That you can make the scripture say anything. Anything. In fact, for you to be able to understand the scripture properly, the scriptures, you first have to go meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Make sure you know the Lord. In him, know the heart of the Father. I hope you're getting my point. Know the eternal plan of God, and every scripture must be interpreted in the light of God's eternal plan. Let me give a very practical example. Faith as an example. We're taught faith those days, and we decided to use our faith. Now, let me just say this. Most things taught to us as faith, they were correct. What often was wrong, all right, was what we're using faith for. Are you getting my point? For example, I told you the story I tell once in a while in school, that I sat down in my hostel. I was seeing where they were roasting corn across the road. God has given me money. He has given me legs. But I did not have the discipline to get up, walk all the way there, buy the corn, come back to my room, sit down, and be eating my corn. I decided to use faith instead of using discipline. So I began to speak the corn to come. And I paced up and down in my room. As a child of God, I have power over the forces of nature. The angels are at my command. We spoke all kinds of tongues. I called this corn. I needed two. I need the sizes. The angel said, even if this corn was coming, we'll knock it down on the road. Why? Because this boy is lazy. What more do you want God to do? He allowed you to see the corn, smell the corn, and he gave you money. And give you strength. So just to walk across is what the problem now is. That's what I mean. All those principles, they were not wrong. What was I using it for? Service my flesh. No, the corn desire is not the flesh. It's that laziness that's flesh. Do you follow my point? Let me get back to the lady I was telling you about.
So they will pray, they will vibrate and vibrate and vibrate. What's the vibration about?
In-law matter.
My in-laws will conspire. I will go and pray. And when I'm praying, Leko yaba. And I will say, the Bible says, the rod of the wicked shall not fall upon the lot of the righteous. And I began to scatter the arrangement.
Your mother-in-law.
Every time, one day I called my wife. I said, why don't you tell your friend that she's an angry person? She's not a loving person. Before you start firing these prayers, why don't you get on your knees and go and talk to this woman? And say, mommy, what did I do to you? How did I offend? Can I make amends? Have you tried that one? No. As much as it depends on you, follow peace with all men. Have you tried that? You are firing prayer arrows and scattering their arrangement. Whatever they are saying against you, this nonsense praying. All of this, you're talking about people who are older than you. What is wrong with you? Going to kneel, literally. I say, mommy, please, I came to see you. I have this feeling, please, what did I do wrong? Is there a way I can make amends? Now, you do that, whether it works or not, let's leave that. Then you now get back to praying. What prayer should you pray for? God does not desire that anyone should perish. These are your loved ones. These are your family members. And the Bible says the God of this world blinds people's eyes. Why don't you pray that God will open their eyes? Are you seeing what I'm saying? Let me tell you the truth. Let me jump into this. Chibize, most of the praying in some of these are fire churches. They are absolutely against the will of God. All my enemies, die, die, die. Listen to me. God dislikes all of you for praying those prayers. These are enemies you have never knelt down to beg God. That, Lord, what will it benefit me if they died? What will it benefit you if they died? These are fathers of children, mothers of children. Why don't you just convert them? I don't know whether I get my point. Why don't you? Why don't you? How many times have we gotten our heart? I'm talking about prayer of faith. Remember we talked about prayer of faith. And that faith is when God's will takes over your own will. And I'm saying, this is a prophetic word I brought today. Many of our prayers are generated by bitterness. That's what I came to correct. Bitterness. One day, in a church, in Enugu here, the woman used to be my secretary in the office, our departmental secretary. One day she came and told me, you know, generally, we live in a country where we do what we like a lot of times. You know, we are bad in that area. God has to help us, amen? We are not very civil. So you go and plant a church next to somebody's house. The government leaves you. They start doing all-night prayer. Every night. What I've told is exactly what happened to these people. So they tried to talk to the church, and the church did not stop. So the man, that's this woman's husband, got a lawyer. And the lawyer decided to write them. Not very nice words, I will be honest. I wish he had written something a bit more placatory, something that's more friendly. If I'm the one, let me tell you the wisdom God has given me these days. Now, just learn it, okay? There's no need to fight. Before, I used to like to make trouble. I just used to feel when I was younger that if you are nice, people will just take advantage of you. So I just go do guru. But as I got older, I realized guru did not pay. And my blood pressure will just be going up for nothing. Why don't you try the other one? In fact, the one I did the other day, I said, at the end of the day, my son came and met me. I said, Daddy, what did you tell that policeman? He was surprised the way things went. He was shocked. The man, you know the way it happens sometimes? A park, this. He turned to his small disagreement. He sees their papers. They couldn't go anywhere. My wife gave me a call. I just walked over there. Where's the policeman? They pointed to me. I walked over to him. Talked to him for a few minutes, came back to the car, gave them their papers, told them to go. When the guy got home, he came and met me. Daddy, I just want to know exactly, what did you tell that man? Because he was surprised. A few minutes, I had collected, yeah, you guys should go. There was no gratification, nothing. He was surprised. If I was the one, that kind of thing, that's the thing I'm telling you. Don't go there making trouble. You will not disturb my sleep. That fight alone is disturbing your sleep. The easy way is to go there, knock the door. Pastor, how are you doing now? The Lord will help you. Your ministry, you guys are doing well. That's a lie, but... better than the opposite. Just say, tell them, you say, check them. Anytime you are praying, I can't sleep. And you know, this God in heaven listens to everybody. If I report you people to him, it won't be nice. We are praying to the same Heavenly Father. Please, can we have some? No, that's the attitude. I'm not saying they will always agree. But try that one first. Always try that. Always. It might fail. I'm not guaranteeing you it will always work. But it's the best way to go about it. Just make everybody feel relaxed. You understand? It's the best way to go about it. I know one of the things that's helped me over time is age. You understand? So I'm older than I used to be. So even the people that I'm approaching, if I start talking to them like that, instantly, their guards go down because this man is older than us and is talking like this. So it may not always work for you like that because if you are younger than me, all right? But whether you are older or younger, go like that first. Okay? Just small tip for us to live this life. We don't have to be fighting and fighting and fighting. Now, let me get back to this church matter. Their lawyer wrote them and warned them that the fire from government will fall on their head. He threat, for your information, he was very right. That time, those in power in the NSEPA at that time, the environmental protection people, they will come, remove, those guys, they will remove all your speakers and go and lock it in their office. And they were not joking. And some of them said, persecuting the church. Again, let me go there first. Before you can call it persecution, Peter said, you should have been seen to have done right. Then let's know that they are persecuting you for the sake of what? Righteousness. You can't be doing evil, which you like to do, because you think is right. And you are disturbing somebody else's peace, and you say it's persecution. There's someone of our big churches on that express there, near that this thing. They are big. I won't mention their name. You know what I'm talking about. Gender flyover. Then Sepa came and collected all their speakers. Now, you see where I'm going? Talking about God's heart. You know what these people did? They started praying against this family. Listen to this. That their children will go mad. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. They did that. And they were firing the prayer in the name of Jesus. I had to tell, I said, go and tell them, mention my name, that I said nothing will happen to you or your children or your husband. But if they continue praying like that, they should get ready for what God will do to them. I said, mention my name. Don't be afraid. Go there. Tell them that's what Pastor Banky said. Yeah. She came and told me, because of the... First, you literally are disturbing the peace of the neighborhood. In civilized environments, they will lock the door of that church. They should. You can't just open your assembly in the midst of a residential area. And you say, but the bars are making noise. Are you not better than the bars? Are you not better? Why should you compare yourself with those who don't have, the Bible describes as hopelessly confused? They are not civil. Some things are just out of order. But let's get back to our teaching. Bitterness. Now, when I say this one now, their children will grow up. You see all of you shout, okay, good. But you've gone to our Pentecostal prayer meetings. Every power that is against you this year, they will die. Have you not said it? Maybe not you, but many people have said it. And we have prayed it with fervor. Prayers decided by bitterness. That's what I'm preaching about. That is an unbelieving prayer. Listen, you have to know the heart of God. You see, even if God threatens to do, you know, to fire somebody, he's watching you. Now, let me just say something here. God is watching what your heart is like. If he answers your prayer, don't be carried away. He still checks the kind of prayer you prayed to decide whether he will reward you. Reward for praying is different from answer to prayer. Let me say that again. The reward for praying is different from the answer to that prayer. There are things that you will ask God for. He says, for this, I have seen that you are not a good person. And he will answer it. And I can prove that from scripture. Of course, we already know. Simeon and Anna, they were praying for the coming of the kingdom. When Jesus said,
the Pharisees pray in open spaces so that they will be seen by all men as being righteous. Say, verily I say unto you, they have their reward already of the, you know, the approval of men. That's their reward. The question is that, did you answer the prayer? No, the answer is no, yes, let's even leave that. But what is now the reward that somebody gets if they are prayed in secret? You may have gotten an answer, but you get a reward. Let me give an example. Daniel, all right? He was praying for Israel to be restored. God gave him a reward that we call prophecy today. When the angels came to visit him, God was rewarding him for his right heart, knowing that what Daniel was praying for, he couldn't fulfill it at that time. He said, Daniel, let me show you what will come to pass later. So Daniel entered into rest, knowing fully what God would do. It's a reward. Let me explain it further. Solomon, God came to him and said, ask for anything. Let me ask you a simple question. If you had asked at that time that all the kingdoms of the Moabites, the Ammonites, give me another one, Mount Seir, Edomites, all of them, I want them subject to me. Those are Syrians, I heard that they are raising a head there. I want them to be my subject. What do you know about Lebanon? Babylon, all those people, Egypt, all the way to Egypt, Libya. I want them to bow at my feet. There's one girl there in Sheba. I want her to marry me. Remember Queen of Sheba? And when she's coming, all the gold of her kingdom, that's what I want. She's simple. All the enemies in Israel, Lord, just send them their heads to me on a platter of gold. And please, can I live for the next 500 years? Now, I've made some ridiculous requests, but think about it carefully. Do you think the Lord will have granted it based on what he said? But let's look at what Solomon asked for. What did Solomon ask for? Wisdom. For what purpose? To govern the people, to be an effective king. All right? Sitting on the throne of David. What did God say? Listen. He said, because you have not asked for the life of your enemies. Because you have not asked for long life for yourself. Because you have not asked for riches. Now, let me ask you a question. Which one, did it make God happy that he did not ask for those things? No, just there's no catch to it. So he didn't ask for this thing that we're asking for every day. And God said, I like you. You're a good man. Your heart is set on the right thing. Your father trained you well. This is where I want the heart of a king to be. He said, by the way, the things that everybody is asking for, I'm going to give them to you. That's the reward. That was not the answer. The answer was what? Wisdom. He asked for wisdom. Now, listen, he didn't ask for wisdom for biology. He didn't ask for wisdom for geography. He didn't ask for wisdom to know the stars. Now, listen to this. He didn't ask for wisdom for engineering. He only asked for wisdom for what? Governance, that's all. Do you know? God gave him wisdom to govern. Then he made him an excellent biologist. Solomon understood the stars. He understood engineering. Solomon could design ships, everything. He understood trade. He understood pollination. And I'm not joking. He understood breeding, how you could breed different animals, how you could crossbreed. All those things that Gregor Mendel learned thousands of years later, Solomon, as at that time, understood them. When I was in secondary school, our teacher said something. I said, okay, you're carrying too far. He said, Solomon had electricity. I said, sir, take it easy. Like, yeah, haba. You know, like, we don't say Solomon tried, but haba. Until one day I saw an archaeological digging that was thousands of years old, and it could be nothing but an electric cell. A clay jar with a copper ring and a lead rod. By that time, I understood physics. This is a wet cell. At least, is a wet cell. They suddenly remembered what my teacher said years before in secondary school. Then it was more than 10 years. I said, yeah, maybe Oga was right too. But that's the depth of Solomon's wisdom. Do you know, Solomon could read. His brother Adonijah came, asked for Abishag. That's all. 10 steps ahead, he had Adonijah killed, Joab,
dismissed Abiathar. He cleansed everybody. When you see the godfather the telling Michael Corleone what to do, Solomon was doing these things far back now today. See, that guy's wisdom. You know, the Bible says that Ahithophel was so wise. It was as if he spoke to God. Solomon surpassed Ahithophel by a wide gap. Yet he did not ask for wisdom. That kind of wisdom. That's what I'm saying. He did not ask for that kind of wisdom. He asked only for the wisdom to what? Govern. That is the depth of what God gave him. As what? As a reward for the right request. Some of us are going to church and destroying God's favor with our prayer points. Yeah. One of my senior friends, he was in church. He was so upset when he told me that one preacher came and said, if you want to hear news that your enemies died this week, come to the front. I'm not telling you what happened in Botswana or Mali or Australia. In Enugu here, he's a man, you know him. The man that was teaching the Bible, did they went to represent me? Yes. In that fellowship. He was the one teaching the Bible that day. He said, the whole church was empty. The pew. Everybody had gone forward. Apart from people like him that was wondering, what is wrong with everybody else? A few Sundays later, it was his turn to preach. He told them, if you heard news that your enemy died, come forward. Nobody could come forward. Yeah. He was so angry. He had to rebuke them. Like, look at all of you. That is the kind of thing. If they say, he said, dear Lord, he said, Lord, wait, what if, could they repent? I will feel better if they give a testimony in church that they are now saved. Do you get my point? Please, this bitterness that is provoking people to prayer. First, half of it is unwarranted. Do you get my point? The man didn't help you, so why should they help you? Is it your money? You're angry. But your father helped him, so? First, you don't know whether your father helped him or not. Your father lied to you. Let me just let you know that one. Do you get my point? Yes, your father lied to you, told you he helped everybody. Did he help anybody? How much money did he have? He helped Bola Tinubu get elected. You have to tell your daddy, when? You died before Bola Tinubu came into politics. But I'm just trying to say that, look, so even if it is true, that doesn't make you have the right, doesn't give you the right to have demands of anybody on anybody. It doesn't give you that right. That's half. The other half that are even true, they are your enemies. They don't like you. They want to hurt you. The first time Jesus gave a prayer point, it was for your enemies. Pray for your enemies. Do good to those who despitefully use you. It was a commandment. You're angry with your landlord, hoping his house will burn. That is how you won't build another. That God said, no problem. I will burn the house. Oh. See this house? I will burn it. Then you'll go and give testimony. But as I live, you will never have a house. Yeah. You won't know when he will say it. What is the reason? Yes, the man took your money. I know. The man didn't fulfill his obligations. I know. But I forbid you for deciding the kind of judgment I give people. Always want good for them. And it's a very simple one. They're either believers or they're unbelievers, Abby. No, wait, think about it. Either they are believers or what? Or they're unbelievers. So the first thing, if they are unbelievers, is what? Your prayer. Salvation. You are praying that they will repent. And they will change and become believers. After all, if the church was like us, Paul would have died and would have no book of Romans. That's a church. Bro, what's the name of bro? Bro that they stoned and he died. Yes, yeah, Stephen, of course, represents the church. I'm even right in that. But that's how they thought at that time. If the church then, and Stephen especially, were like us, Paul would have been the first to go to hell. And someone would brag, we don't want to see them in heaven. How can they kill an innocent, faithful, humble, Christ-loving saint? No, Father, kill them. Yakovah, die, hell, fire. In the name of Jesus. Amen. They will come to church next week. Did you hear? High priest, don't die. Brethren, the Lord has answered us. Our God is a God that answered by fire. Hey, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, we'll be feeling good. And God said, there goes your book of Romans. I've killed your book of Romans. I've killed the Ephesians. I've killed the book of Corinthians. Two letters to Corinthians, don't go. In fact, I even killed Hebrews. Because some people say that I even killed Hebrews. So now you have your New Testament, very thin. After the Gospels, the book of Acts, which is only half, and up to chapter 8. No, okay, we add like two chapters to the death of Saul. So you have 10 chapters in the book of Acts. And then John just managed to write Revelation before they kill him too. That's it. Okay, James wrote something for us, have you? Jude wrote like three lines, have you? Okay, then Peter. No, Peter won't have written them because now he's for kill Saul. But now we can laugh about it. Why? Why do we find it funny? Because Stephen was not like us. Stephen said, Lord, please don't count this thing against them. So Jesus said, fine. Saul, you will pay. How will I pay? First, I will forgive you. Then I will show you all the things you will suffer for my sake. Then you will start writing letters. And only you will constitute half of what my people in a few years will call the New Testament. Start your work. Do you know if we have more Stephens to donate now, we'll donate that time. I think they will just go back and say, Stephen, I'll leave the stone. You'll call Saul, come. Yes, Nathaniel did it. I'm not kidding, Nathaniel. No, you're thinking, you know, your logic now is that there are some things I didn't understand. If somebody, that's the logic now. But why don't we apply it now? We have prayers that have we have churches that the prayers are full of what? Bitterness. That's my message for today. Getting rid of bitterness. Does God punish people? Oh, yes, he does. And let me tell you, the punishment for those that the people they hurt were praying for is hot. I don't know where I get my point. That if God decides that your prayer for that person can't catch it, so I have to release the fullness of my wrath upon them. I have scriptures that I saw David and Jeremiah prophesy the kind of judgment that God gives under such circumstances. They are frightening. Yeah, you know, before I was wondering, why did Jeremiah say these things? Why was David saying these things? Until the Lord helped me to understand these things. Say, no. It is when the prayers don't work. And this, the people that were hurt, do you get my point? They pray sincerely. Because, you know the truth? Jesus does not join that prayer. You know, in heaven. Okay. When you pray, there are two kinds of people that pray. The Bible says, he's an intercessor for who? Those who draw near to God by him. Did you catch that? No, you don't seem to believe me. Let's open our Bibles. No, it's there. It's in the scripture. The Bible says, he ever lives to make intercession for those who draw near to God by him. That's Hebrews chapter 7. Let's just start from verse 23. It's 25 we're going to. He said, the former priests on one hand existed in greater numbers because they were prevented by death from continuing. But Jesus, on the other hand, because he continues forever, holds his priesthood permanently. Therefore, he is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him. Can you see that? How? Why? Since he always lives to make what? Intercession for them. So the intercession for the unbeliever, the wicked soul, is only in your hands and mine. Jesus does not join that one. No, he doesn't join it. You know the only thing he does to those people? Destruction. This is what the Bible says. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish out of the way. He said, for his anger may be kindled in a moment. You don't know where it will go off. The blessing is for those who draw near to God by him. He said, how blessed are those? How did he say it again? Psalm number 2. How blessed are all who take refuge in him. For those who don't take refuge in him, oh boy, it's hard to. I don't have time now to bring up the scriptures. If you see, you know, Jeremiah said that thing. And for a long time I was wondering, Jeremiah, oh boy, you hard though. When he found out how they were conspiring against him, he went to God and said, "Ah, you know how I pray for these people all the time. You know how I bring your matter to them." He said this. Then he now began to release. He said, "Let their children be fatherless. Let their wives be widows." I'm like, Jerry, easy. Calm down now. Later I'll come to understand. Hey, Banky, this is how it works. Once a saint continues to make intercession and you don't repent at the appropriate time and relax and God releases, this is at the words of Jesus about the situation. He said, no. He said, "I will scatter them to pieces like pottery." What it means, if you know the concept in that Psalm 2, is what used to happen is that when when the potter finishes making the clay and the pot, and it's not perfect, all right? What it does is to what? Pulverize them. So one of the jobs of his boys is to have a metal rod to crush pots that are not good. Render them into powder again. Pieces. That's the concept. We shatter them like pottery. So when you pray for people and God now decides to judge somebody who you have prayed for intensely, in fact, add more prayer for that individual. Even you will not want to see what God will do. But the Lord doesn't want accusation from your mouth. He doesn't want you to ask him to judge people. He wants you to wipe your heart of bitterness. In fact, let me tell you what he said. We're talking about prayer of faith. The prayer of faith is not, I know God will do it for me. No. It's what does God want? What is his will? His will is that nobody will perish. That is his will. You know what God said? See that person? When you see me punishing him, he said, continue your intercession. Now, when he did say that, I'll tell you. It was Solomon that was speaking. He said, don't rejoice when your enemy stumbles. He said, don't annoy God. You understand? When somebody you don't like starts stumbling, when bad things begin to happen to you, even though the person did you evil. He said, if I begin to punish, I forbid you. You see, if you know the kind of heart God wants us to have, he said, I forbid you from rejoicing. He said, if I see you rejoice, I will stop. If I'm avenging you of your adversary, say, don't be happy. Kneel down. Thank God. Worship him. Ask him for mercy. He knows when mercy cannot be done. But you let it just be that is what you want. Because the heart of God is interesting. And I have called you again. Have you ever heard this? Buy me no more. Finish it for me. Hey, she know. Everybody please clap for her. She clap. Finally, she has proven to us that she actually speaks the language. That when they say, flog this child for me, say the father doesn't be meaning to. He says, it's not, literally means, it's not raising belly. And that's how God is. What he wants is that you should have a clean heart, a kind heart, a merciful heart. When he says, blessed are the merciful, that's what we are talking about. So what's my message for today? We're talking about the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith is not what the church is praying in Nigeria today. Annual witch killing conference is not a prayer of faith. That witch must die is not a prayer of faith. What is the prayer of faith for the witches? Finish it for me. That witch must what? Repent. Thank you. That witch must repent. That witch must be saved. We go to prayer meetings now, which sometimes work. Let me just tell you something. Some of these prayers, they work. You know why? There are two ways to pray. You can come to God the Father. That is the witch must repent. Lord, have mercy. Open the eyes. Open the ears. This hardness of heart, can you suspend it? Peradventure, this fellow will listen. Grant her faith. Grant him faith. That's the Father. But it's prayer to the judge. Avenge me. So whichever one you choose, you will get the result. You'll get the result. But then what will God do to you? How will he reward you? Or otherwise? That is what the question is. Can we bow down our heads to pray? That's the message I brought for us today concerning the prayer of faith. I want us to take a minute to pray. Please take a minute.
I don't even know what to tell you to say. Just pray. Number one, however, I think I realized something. Many of us should repent of offering the kind of prayers that are displeasing to God. Prayers of bitterness. We need to repent. Prayers of anger. Prayers of vengeance. We need to repent of refusal. Oh, please, I don't have time to teach further on that matter today. Nigeria is plagued with bitter spirits. This nation is plagued with bitter spirits. Intercessors, arise and quench the voices of these bitter spirits. Quench the voices with the voice of mercy. Quench the voices with pleadings for mercy. Mercy for even your perceived enemies. How many people would dare to pray for mercy for bandits? It sounds like anathema. But what if amongst them, 1,000 evangelists rise? Apostles who will go into the depths of hard places. Like I said, there are two kinds of people. Either believers or unbelievers. For those who don't believe, what should you pray? Lord, let your light shine upon them. Go and read the story of Nikki Cruz. Go. Read the story as told by David Wilkerson. When Nikki Cruz told his story in the book, Run, Baby, Run, Wilkerson told his own story in The Cross and the Switchblade. The day they came to the police station to lay down their weapons, he said, "Well, thank God the police didn't see us coming. They would have thought we came for war." They piled weapons on the counter in the police station. They had to send for the pastor because they didn't believe what was going on. They told the police, "You won't have trouble from us anymore." Would you want to see that kind of revival? Repent of praying bitterness prayers. That's the message I brought today. The prayer of faith is that which agrees with God. That's the prayer of faith. With the heart of God, with God's heart. Let me tell you, God said, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay." I kept on noticing, why did he say, "I will avenge"? Because there are two sides to it. To avenge is half of it. To repay that which was lost is the other half. So the people you are hoping that God will put retribution on their head, because they don't pray that prayer. Pray for mercy. Then that which you lost to them, I will repay you. Repent. Repent of nonsense praying that we have done. Repent for the whole church. Don't even repent. You may not have been doing it, but repent for the whole church. I will write prayer points. 200 prayer points to pray in one night. All of them about witches. Enemies in the households. I'm not even ashamed of yourself. You want your enemies in the household to all die? They are your relatives. That's why they are of the household. What is wrong with them believing? What is wrong with them following you to church and saying, "Your God will be my God"? Why have we become accusers of the brethren? When God committed into our hands the ministry of reconciliation, we now have the ministry of condemnation. Haba. Is that right? Of course it is not right. I'm not speaking the way I feel. I'm speaking by the Spirit. Forgive your in-laws. They are not your problem. Is that hatred that's your current problem? You hear what I said, though? Because God's patience also has a limit. There are kind anger in your head. There are people that are not... You're not talking to your mother-in-law. What is wrong with your head? You're a young lady. You're just 29. Have respect for goodness sake. Somebody listening to me, you don't have a right to say, "I'm not talking to my father." Why? Because they said something that annoyed you. Be on your knees and pray for them daily. They have not offended you enough to get to that level. After now, that 29-year-old lady, call your mother-in-law and she will be shocked, but call. Send a message. Send a gift. She never wanted me to marry her son. Eh? You look like a good girl. Why would anybody want you to marry their son in the first place? I better stop feeling too cool with yourself. Go and repent. You came across as not being nice. That's why she didn't like you in the first place. You were arrogant. But today we are talking repentance. Most important, I don't care. Okay, I wasn't arrogant. That's what you think. But just forget it. Do what I have said. That's the prayer we are praying today. Let us pray for this nation. A land filled with the spirit, with bitter spirits. In their bitterness, they speak against government every day. They wish this government evil. They want the country to spoil so that they can say they can't do it. There are people who are just saying, if this will now do right now, it will be that we're wrong when we're campaigning against them. Let me tell you, it is your own destiny we are talking about. Whether your business will do well in 20 years, so we are determining now. Better get rid of your own feeling. Don't let bitterness trouble the land and trouble you personally. Get rid of bitterness. Please, get rid of bitterness. I don't care who hurt you in the past. Get rid of... You can't afford to have that bitterness. It should not dictate your prayer points. We're talking about the prayer of faith. It's a prayer of unbelief. If bitterness is dictating your prayer points. One man of God telling us a story about his life. His wife, after 12 years or so, packed their two children and left. And he said, all the years I knew this lady, from the time we married until she left, said there was no time at 2 a.m. she's sleeping. She's praying. Said, well, what are all the prayers? Die, 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 all the die, die prayer. That bitterness broke her home. Broke her family. One of our brothers, the daddy I was talking, his wife decided to leave him. Did him a lot of evil as far as I'm concerned. Because he said, are you taking sides? No. Because when I try to talk to the woman, and she finished speaking with me, I knew that, man, things are rough. At the end of the day, who's losing? You use bitterness. Destroyed your own home because you are angry with the generation before. I keep on saying, look, I'm in Eastern Nigeria. Let me call a spade. People are still bitter with a war. And they are saying, no, the war didn't end. Brethren, it ended. People poured the spirit of bitterness into us and we drank it. Drank it. Kind of war on in our hearts. After 56 years almost, the most bitter people were not even born. And you allowed some frustrated old men to destroy your own destiny. Let's forget who was right or wrong. But you can't let the bitterness, continue. I walked to a pastor's house when he finished speaking. I said, sir, do you realize what you are doing? Your ministrations are no longer going to be by the Spirit, not the Spirit of God, but the Spirit of bitterness. Then another man of God came from the north. He came to town, listened to another preacher. He said, Banky, God planted you in this city. You have a job to do. Your work is plenty. I said to him, sir, I know. That's not what I'm doing now. Give the Lord thanks. Give the Lord thanks.